Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Joe Khalil is the News Nation reporter and Washington correspondent who joins us frequently. Hey, Joe, welcome back. You're on WGN Radio. How are you?
I'm doing well. Always good to be with you guys.
Likewise. Did everybody see? I mean, we knew that he was close. Did everybody know that that's what he was going to say over the weekend, or was this a surprise?
You know, I think nobody knew that this is what he was going to say, and I think that's the big shock of it. You know, is one that after months and months of negotiations, he finally just pulled out. But I think, you know, the bigger shock was that even the White House appeared to be, you know, taken aback by this. And that doesn't happen very often. You'd think that he would at least have, you know, talked to them and made clear to them first, look, negotiations are done, and then walked out of the White House, then made a public statement on Fox News. But it became pretty clear from Jen Psaki's response and from the White House's response that, you know, honestly, I think he gave them like 20 minutes heads up before going on Fox News and talking to the nation that, you know, saying that he was going to be pulling out. So that was really one of the biggest surprises about this whole thing.
Jen Psaki mentioned him by name in a statement over the weekend, called him out exclusively, which they say is unusual for the White House press secretary to put something that specific on one person. But he is the guy. He is the guy.
And, you know, if I may, too, I mean, you see Jen Psaki sometimes react to questions that can get, you know, a bit adversarial in the briefing room. She is known characteristically for her calm. She's not a flamethrower. She's not somebody that calls people out specifically like some, you know, previous White House press secretaries. But, you know, she did not pull any punches in that statement that she released.
What's the reason the Manchin, did he say, was it the carbon emissions? Was it the overall cost? What was it that caused him to say that?
Yeah, you know, I mean, so for months now, he's been talking about how he has had issues with the overall cost and more recently with what this might do to inflation. Although Jen Psaki points out in her response that the economists that he keeps pointing to specifically all say unanimously that the bill would actually help decrease inflation. So, you know, Jen Psaki with a point there. But, you know, Manchin for a long time has had issues, and this is why it's been hard to reconcile, you know, what Chuck Schumer and the White House have been projecting, which is a sense of positivity that Manchin is going to land on yes at some point, because some of the key tenets of the bill, these aren't small things on the fringe, you know, the child tax credit, which is one of the things that Democrats have been most proud of in this bill, you know, wanting to extend them. He's had issues with, I think, the prices on those. It's large parts, the paid family leave that was going to have to be cut from the bill because Senator Manchin did not like it. The environmental, you know, the climate change measures in this bill that go further than any in history that the White House said made the bill what it was. Those are things that Manchin had issues with. So it wasn't like it was, you know, the thing on page 167, random little sentence. These are the key parts. So, you know, in hindsight, he had been saying this and laying these objections down for months now, but it just seemed inevitable he was going to come around to yes, given the, again, positivity of Chuck Schumer and of the White House. And so that's why, again, I mean, maybe you could have seen, you know, what he was saying and taken him literally for the past 6 or 7 months. But I guess maybe we shouldn't be so surprised that he is where he is now, which is a hard no.
You know, I saw a piece last week and it said throughout the country in the heartland, throughout a lot of red states, the programs that the Democrats are putting forward are very popular, but Democrats are not. And that became the conundrum. How is it that this party issuing these things that will help so many people, will be so beneficial to so many people, that people like. They say, do you want this? Do you want this? Do you want this? People say, yes, yes, yes. The Democrats are doing it, and then they don't like the Democrats. They can't win for trying. And it may be that people are fiscally more responsible. You know, I don't know how this is going to shake out economically. Over 10 years, by the way. Over 10 years we're talking about. But maybe it's that. People think it's too much money. I don't know.
You know, so this is, I think, a big problem for Democrats. And if you talk to them here on Capitol Hill on background or whatever, they will acknowledge that they have a messaging problem, because a lot of the key components of this bill, again, if you pull them out individually and you don't say, hey, this is what Democrats want, or this is what Republicans want. But if you just pull it out and say, hey, do you want, you know, Medicare to be expanded so that it covers, you know, and dental and vision for our seniors. Most people say yes to that. If you talk about paid family leave, if you talk about the child tax credits that Democrats say have already lifted, you know, X amount of children out of poverty in this country, do you like those things? People generally say yes. So it's what Democrats, frankly, are struggling with now heading into the 2022 midterms, is that they have all of these individual policies that are popular, and they put them all together in this bill. Maybe when you put them all together, the spending looks like it may be too much. People are worried about costs and inflation already. But individually, a lot of these things poll very well, very popular. And certainly in places like West Virginia, Democrats argue that where poverty is high, people would benefit extremely, you know? Yeah. So that's sort of the struggle Democrats have been dealing with.
That is a conundrum. The whole is less than the sum of the parts, and people who benefit much from it are saying no, even though I suppose if we offered it to them, they would take it. And again, maybe that makes them more responsible than your average politician. But the next question I have for you, Joe Khalil, News Nation Washington correspondent, is, so what happens next? Should the White House give Manchin what he wants? Better to get something than nothing? I mean, where does this go next? Joe Khalil is the News Nation reporter who has been following this Build Back Better bill. A lot of us stumble when we say it. It sounds like something Melania Trump would have come up with when she said be best. And maybe when you mentioned that messaging was a problem, the first time I heard Build Back Better, I thought, that doesn't even sound right. And now they're having trouble getting it through.
It's got so many different iterations. It was human infrastructure, and then it was the family spending plan, and then Build Back Better, and I can't even keep track anymore.
So is the White House going to cave? I mean, better to get something than nothing. Is that even possible?
So it's going to be really difficult, I think, moving forward, because, you know, the only reason that this bill was so big is because the White House put all of their domestic priorities into this one package. And why did they do that? Because they wanted to do it through this process called budget reconciliation, which is a, you know, processy way of saying basically it's a way to pass the bill with just 50 votes instead of 60 votes in the Senate. Because if you need 60, the White House is going to need 10 Republicans to get on board. So if you break this bill up and you make it into smaller pieces, they're going to need to get 60, and all of a sudden you need Manchin and you need Republicans too. If they keep it together in that budget reconciliation, you know, package, they're going to have to lose some things in there that, you know, Senator Manchin wouldn't like to get everybody on board. But again, some of the things that Senator Manchin brought up at different times over the past like 6 months have been some of the key tenets. So does the White House want to lose their big climate provisions? Do they want to lose paid family leave and all of these other things? I mean, there's no clear path forward as to what Democrats are going to do, other than Leader Schumer has already said that he's going to put the Build Back Better bill on the floor to get a vote as it stands now, knowing it's not going to pass. But this is going to be a way of sort of getting Senator Manchin, you know, on the record with his vote and with his statement. And Schumer and, you know, Bernie Sanders and others have said, you know, make him have to explain to West Virginians why he's not going to support all of these things that, you know, they argue would be good for West
Virginia. Isn't this politically advantageous to him? I mean, isn't this him playing to the home crowd? West Virginia, I presume, is still red, and so maybe as a Democrat, he needs to. I saw Dino in a tweet today, Democrat in name only.
You know, I mean, West Virginia is a state that Donald Trump carried by more than 30 points, right? So this is not California, right? This is a pretty conservative bastion that Senator Manchin is familiar with and knows how to win. I think if anything you can say about Senator Manchin, it's that he knows how to win in West Virginia as a Democrat. And so, I think he's probably reading his own tea leaves. And I imagine that, you know, he's not going to be politically punished for voting against President Biden's agenda in a state that, again, former President Trump will carry twice by more than 30 points. This has been a struggle, you know, to get him on board, because you're asking him to take what are tough votes. To answer your question, I mean, I don't know how the White House moves forward, other than maybe they can, as we talked about, some of these things are very popular individually and mm-hmm. poll tested. Maybe they take those things and put them together and pass whatever they can. But nobody's made any indication yet as to how they're going to move forward. So it's going to be waiting to see how the White House responds to this.
We've got some calls and text messages for you. Just answer a few questions for us, Joe, before we let you go.
Sure.
Mary, you're on WGN. What's your question for Joe Khalil?
Okay, my question is, why did Joe Manchin vote for that Pentagon bill? It was so huge. I would have thought that his frugal nature would have kicked in then. They could have taken that excess, maybe, and applied it to this program rather than pass something that was not needed that the Pentagon didn't even want or use.
Hold on a second, Mary. Let's let him respond. It's an interesting question. Joe?
Yeah, so, Mary, you're talking about the NDAA. That's the annual defense budget every single year that is passed. Usually it's passed in a bipartisan way. It's very popular. And so I think that was sort of a foregone conclusion. I mean, that's the bill that, you know, dictates what funding the Pentagon has and for our military men and women. That is a massive bill. And I think there are definitely arguments to be had if you're a fiscal conservative about how much our defense spending is and how much we put toward, you know, the Pentagon for a whole range of reasons. But that was kind of a foregone conclusion because, again, that's the annual every single year bill that, goes through Congress. But that's the argument, Mary. It's a good question because it's the argument that a lot of progressives are bringing up, too, is if you're OK with spending all this money there, why not on Build Back Better?
Mary, thanks for the call. 269 texted in, Manchin did not have the courage or decency to tell Biden no to his face. He did it on Fox. Is that true? Is that how the administration found out?
So what I've heard is that the administration got a call about 20 minutes before Senator Manchin went on Fox, and that Politico reported that President Biden tried in those 20 minutes to get a hold of Senator Manchin to put in a call, and that the president was denied access to Senator Manchin. That is not my reporting. That is reporting that was done by Politico. But very clearly, the White House was not given a heads up, you know, a day before or whatever, because you could tell that from the statement that Jen Psaki put out, that the White House was blindsided. And that's kind of where I started, because, to me, that's the most shocking part of this whole thing over the weekend, is that there was not this sort of courtesy, I'm going to explain it to the president face-to-face. He clearly, the president, had an impression that Joe Manchin was going to move forward and negotiate.
Yeah, right.
And that obviously did not happen.
847 texted in and said, Joe Biden ran on his connections to people and his ability to work across the aisle to negotiate. Why is this important legislation without any of what Joe Biden says he's good at? Says Dottie and Huntley. I presume by that she means Republican support. How plausible was the idea that Joe Biden would have been able to get some Republicans on board?
Well, so Joe Biden kind of campaigned on that. The texter is correct. I think if you're the White House, you would point to the $2 trillion COVID relief package that they were able to get through in a bipartisan way. There was the big bipartisan infrastructure bill that they got through. So I think that's what you would hear, again, from the White House defending that. But, you know, putting their whole domestic agenda, the Biden agenda, into this one bill, it was just too big. It was just too, the price tag being $2 trillion or more. They were realistically never going to get any Republicans on board. Even the Republicans who've been willing many times to cross the aisle in the House and Senate were not going to stick their necks out for this bill.
I wonder if you mentioned messaging has been a problem for Democrats, and one of the messages that people will take away from this is maybe the emasculation of the White House or the embarrassment that, but for one senator of your own party, you're the president, you control both houses, you guys can't get it done. That's a bad message going into the midterms.
You know, you're right about that. If I can just add one thing, there's been a criticism that we've heard over the past couple of days a lot, and that is that President Biden came in with the LBJ or FDR kind of agenda, where he wanted to get this massive thing done, but that he didn't have LBJ's majority in the Senate or in the House. They have a 50-50 Senate, and they have a House majority of 8 seats. So that is incredibly hard to get big things done when you have such a small margin of error. I will leave it to the viewers and the listeners to decide whether or not that's a fair criticism, but that's certainly a criticism that we've heard definitely over the past couple of weeks, and that's what you're seeing now.
The House is the wild, wild west these days, too, particularly on the other side of the aisle. But, you know, maybe a messaging issue for them was they should have said $200 billion a year. That doesn't sound like that much to me in this day and age. $200 billion a year over 10 years is $2 trillion. But if you wanted to sell it, just say, look, we're going to spend $200 billion a year. I think I've got that under my sofa cushion. So that would be an easier sell.
Yeah. You know, I mean, you can kind of look at it, you know, different ways in terms of the way that they tried to sell this. I think there's an argument to be made, too, about expectation setting. Did they set the expectation too high? You know, at the beginning of this negotiation, they were talking about $6
trillion. Yeah.
They came down to about $2 trillion. But when you talk about six, you get the progressives across the country very excited about what could be in this bill, and then you whittle it down further, even if they get something done now that's maybe $1.5 trillion or $1 trillion, you're going to have a lot of people that feel that it's a loss, and maybe it in other terms could be a big win.
Merry Christmas, Joe Khalil from News Nation, the Washington correspondent. Let's catch up later this week, okay?
Happy to do it. Merry Christmas to you and everyone listening out there.
You betcha. Thank you. Great reporting from Joe.